What's up, weebs? Welcome to the intro with an identity crisis. I'm your host, Anime, and with me is Bob.
I get excited about things.
Casey, excellent. Mr. Feel.
Sometimes openings of shows look really bad.
And Dr. Agro.
I mean, for the first three episodes.
I feel like this energy coming in is wrong, and it was a mistake to use this song, but, you know, ever since YouTube decided to ruin my life and no one stopped them from doing it, I'm making decisions firing from the hip now. Anyways, we are here to review a series. That series, oh man. I just have the original light novel title in front of me. Bob, what is the name of the anime?
The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt.
Fantastic. Are you telling me, is this really the name of the light novel I'm seeing here in this document?
No, those are other light novels.
Okay, thank Christ. I was like, how do they make that jump? Okay. Anyways, we're excited to talk about it. Let's do a rundown of how many episodes everybody watched. Let's start with Mr. Feel.
Three.
Aggro.
Four.
KZ.
Five.
And Bob.
Six.
I also watched six. It was all they had. I sat there and went, maybe another episode will come out before we record this. No. It got up 20 hours before we watched
it. Yeah, it was.
I was like, okay, well, I don't even have to guess. That ain't happening. Anyways, very excited to talk about this anime as it's coming out. You know, always good to be on the cutting edge of weeaboots. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this sentence as many times as possible, so that way when this podcast comes out 4 months from now, it's hilarious.
Yeah, cutting edge. Mm-hmm. Coming in hot.
Yes.
I'm talking about our podcast. And not anything else.
Before we get started, we need a plot synopsis. Feel, start blasting.
Okay, this show is about a guy named Wayne. Ween? I don't fucking know how to say this.
Vane? Because I think it's one of those German W's.
Ah, Vane.
I mean, in the Japanese, they break it up, so it's Vane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Vane. Vane, he is the prince of a tiny country, and he's a piece of shit. And he literally wants to sell out his goal is literally, oh no, I'm being sent to live in exile with all this money. I never have to worry about governance ever again. I just have to fucking live in this castle I bought in this safe place and never do anything ever again. That's his goal, but he keeps being successful because everybody he's up against is so brutally incompetent.
He's just way too cool.
It doesn't even come off like that. It comes off like, oh no, I'm a smart character in something written by an idiot. I'm invincible.
Every now and then I had to remember that it wasn't an isekai because of the level of godlike intelligence he seemed to have by just not being a complete dipshit.
It is impressive, honestly, when you see the first episode of, I'm going to flee away into this canyon. Oh, they're yes. Following me the whole way. This isn't even, there's no reticence in their eyes at all.
There is no general in an anime fantasy setting that has any tactical knowledge other than charge.
Yeah, that's true.
He's shown to be like really, really smart and skillful in a variety of ways. But then I hit episode 5 where he dodges a strike. That's mm-hmm. a surprise attack effortlessly. And they're like, holy shit, how'd you do that? And in his brain, he goes, I could never do that again. What the fuck is happening? Please don't do that again.
This is the fantastic story of a man who's a genius because everyone else, except for his allies, are also stupid. Like everyone is staggeringly dumb in this. And it's kind of fantastic.
It's literally every single anime ever made where the protagonist is smart strategist man. Like, it's Code Geass. This is, like, it's the exact same level as that. It's, like, even Legend of the Galactic Heroes, like, everybody the two protagonists are up against is always this stupid.
It's funny in this show, though, because it kind of knows that it's silly. And it's a mixture of a comedy and a more serious show like those.
Yeah, the comedic timing on various moments of this will happen, and then 1 second later they're like, it's fucked up. They've declared war. It's like, what are the chances of that happening?
Yeah, I really appreciate that it is just seemingly self-aware enough, like, to make jokes about the main character's plan is this, and he's hoping for, hopefully we'll survive. Like, we'll scrape by, and then I'll sue them for peace or something.
He says that a few times, and it's like, sorry, sir, we won off screen. What?
Exactly. It was like, what was his winning strategy? And it literally boils down to, well, we trained our army.
Like other nations. Like, he's like, I know every troop by name.
Yeah, it's really impressive how many different layers of man does somewhat basic strategy, and it just owns the shit out of everyone ever. Like, there's a series, is it a two-parter? Yeah, it's a two-parter where they take a gold mine, and the whole thing is like, well, they have way fewer troops and they're up the mountain, and I'm like, so is the enemy general seriously just going to slowly drip feeds troops in? Is that really what's... Yes. He is that stupid. Yep. There's not
reincarnate.
I thought the show was gonna peak there because that has the scene later where they set a dude on fire, and I can't stop thinking about it.
It was really good because it's nighttime in the enemy camp, and the troops from the main country just charge in and throw fire on the people.
that dude
looks like an anime background character. He's the only thing in the shot as he wakes up and looks out his tent and goes, huh? And then gets torched.
It was the greatest cut.
There's a lot of really good violence in this.
Yeah. It's real excellent. But before we get too in-depth, Bob.
Oh, yeah?
Who made the series?
Well, the original writer of the novel was Toru Toba. He also did A Dreadnought of Funeral Mythology and Boy Meets Heart.
I thought that was all one title.
those are two other light novels he's done. This is the first thing to be adapted to an anime that he's worked on.
I see.
Directed by Masato Tamagawa, who previously directed Saint Seiya Sentia Show. Which I think is the one based on, like, I think it's where they gender flopped it, and it's like there's a girl Saint Seiya now or something.
Okay.
And that was the only other full series he directed, but he also directed several episodes for older stuff like Nurse Witch Kamugi, the original one from like the aughts.
Huh.
Or maybe that was late 90s. I can't remember. It was real early.
Yeah.
And Aria the Animation, which is something else from the aughts, I believe.
Yeah. Do you know if any of those series are lacking a real intro for the first
three episodes?
Well, Nurse Witch is an OVA, so I don't think so.
Okay.
It might never get one, though. And
okay.
I don't know about Arya.
I was shocked this got a real intro eventually. I was like, it's just not going to have one.
Yeah, no, I think it's three episodes in. You don't expect it to be, oh yeah, episode four happens.
I've written the history of Lost Universe on my heart, so I always expect we finally finished the intro moment.
Yeah, it's one of those things where like, that one's up front about incomplete. Come back later.
Yes,
under
it
construction.
Is. Yes. Oh no, it totally
you think
is.
About all those Akiyuki Shinbo animes that have like six intros a season, and some other animes just have to go without like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like it was a little just barely too high rent for the original intro they show.
Mm-hmm.
Just the slightest bit too high rent for that. So I was kind of expecting it the whole time. I'm glad it happened because holy shit, but man, that outro.
That outro. When's that going to be done?
Never. Never die.
Yeah, they've given a grand total of 3 frames to the flower reef border they've made.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just plays scenes from the episode you just watched.
Yeah, I'm like, but
that's some classic 90s shit.
It is really, really funny. Also, that first intro they have is just made out of episode one.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it.
Yeah, I know. It's that's really the part funny. That scared me.
I've actually seen a series do that before, and the reason was they, like, murder a shitload of people at episode one, so it didn't make sense to keep doing it.
Right.
Right? I didn't assume the series was going to do that, though, because tone-wise, that didn't seem right.
Right. This is getting off topic a little bit from all the production stuff, but oh, man. I honestly, it's really hard to balance this thing where you actually have murder and fights and stuff and still have a comedy show, and they've managed to do it, which is impressive. I thought this would go take a really dark turn and just be kind of lame.
Maybe this is just me, but I really appreciate, like, oh, this is funny, ha ha ha. Anyways, we're gonna sever this man's arm.
Yes.
I'm appreciative of that.
They're lightsaber like swords. It's great.
The show was coming off a little soft, and then they just started, like, murking motherfuckers, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right, we got one of these. Good stuff.
Yeah, this entire time, you're like, oh, this is a funny thing of, you know, how they're outsmarted in the mines, and did you chop him off from the belt?
Yes, he gets fully chopped in two.
Yes. And I was like, holy shit!
I mean, that was after they beheaded a commander and shoo his head up on a spike.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but this was like, man, they stepped it up.
I was like, it's a good thing they established that tone early on with the, we have the bag of the enemy general's head.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, now just like, okay, I know. Like, I know what this show's capable of. That's fantastic. I'm good to have a feel.
We got stakes.
Yes, you are correct.
We could hit you if we want.
Yeah, so let's run down the rest, Bob.
Yeah, sure. The animation production is done by Yokohama Animation Lab, who has done Lapis Relights, Miru Tights, and Starlight Promises. I'm pretty sure most of these are 5-minute, like, online-only animes.
Yeah, one of them is one of them is definitely the fetish anime.
Yes, about girls wearing tights.
Mm-hmm. Which one could that be?
Mysteries. I hope you guys are excited for how this looks, because they're also working on that Legend of Mana anime.
That is
maybe that'll get a little bit more money.
I hope, but the history shows again and again, game-based animes don't get shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but usually games don't get animes 30 years after they came out.
You're correct, yeah. Yeah. It's a while after Legend of Mana came out.
25-ish years.
Yeah, that's all. Just a small, you know, 25-ish years. Yeah, now that we're talking about it, though, let's talk about the animation quality. Man, it is not stellar. It is serviceable at most of the time.
It gets the job done.
Yeah, it really shipped that package on time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have to make sure the page on Funimation just didn't load wrong for me or something. The opening of the show, of the first episode, looks really insanely shitty, right?
Yes.
Like, it hurts my eyes.
Okay, so the Funimation app is weird because it'll just hitch and then upgrade quality. So part of me is now like, well, is he watching this in 480p?
No, it was more like it stuttered and looked like they were doing really horrible, like, digital zooming.
Oh, that's definitely.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of digital zooming, especially in the first couple
episodes.
Oh,
you're talking about where it was going around the CG castle?
Yes.
Because that was a nightmare.
And the part before that also looks real, where it, like, comes through the guys at the desk.
Yes. Yeah, it looked terrible.
Like, I mean, it wasn't great, but God bless them for trying it. Like, it was interesting and new.
It made me scared the rest of the show was going to be, we made the CG model for the castle, we're going to use it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Batman cartoon or the Spider-Man cartoon, where it's like, here's our, now moving to the castle. Look at this.
Yeah,
I kept waiting for the battles to go full CG, because they have all the battles on the giant modeled brown texture pack background.
Yeah, they have them on the Dynasty Warriors equipment screen and troop management screen.
Mm-hmm. All the pieces are moving, and I'm like, I like this. It has no money, but I like this.
Yeah, it seemed, honestly, for me, it worked there. That castle made me so worried about everything.
Oh, yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be some juicy trash when we hit that part. I'm like, ooh.
But yeah, I feel like we have the characters' names here. We don't need to run those down, though. That's just for our reference.
Right.
See, the series is a very important, very self-serious series, because it tackles the subject of racism against the second character, Nimmin. You know,
yeah, the white Darkson.
Yes, that's she's very
where anytime the racism happens, someone's brutally murdered. Like, within the next 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They should know better than to commit a racism. Not in that fucking kingdom. No way, no how.
They're like, I'm going to say something racist. And he's like, is that what your leader also thinks? Are you speaking for them? Yes. Okay.
I love how everyone else in the tent, as soon as he does the racism, realizes, oh shit, our king's about to war crime.
I like that one because it's insane when he goes to the enemy camp and gets their general, because that general has no idea what he's talking about as he gets killed.
Yeah, I know, that's what's really great. He's like, give me a reason.
it's like your subordinate was racist, so I'm going to cut off your head.
Cut you in two.
He's
talking to the subordinate, and he's like, this is what your superior thinks, and he's like, yeah, it's a quote tweet.
I mean, that's the risk you take when you send an adjunct to speak for
yes.
you.
Yes, definitely.
Maybe don't send a racist next time. Oh, wait, there is no next time. You're fucking dead.
We've seen him cut someone in half horizontally. I need someone to get cut in half vertically, because that's even more insane. Right.
Honestly, I'd be surprised if this series ended and didn't do that.
Right.
Because, man, there's a lot of random gruesome violence that's awesome.
That entire peace negotiation between the racist guy is truly hysterical. Because I think it was there where he's like, here are our terms. Leave this mine. Give up. You get nothing.
Yeah, he's like,
we're losing, you get nothing.
It was even worse than that. He's like, here's our terms for you leaving for stalemate here. And he goes, oh, okay. And then he goes, you leave the mine. You help us with these troops and stuff. You pay us money to make up for the time you occupied the mine? It's like, holy Christ.
And I'm like, how? You haven't won yet. So, and
it's really funny because our main character, Vane, he like literally just wants to stalemate. But they chose terms that were ridiculous.
Speech 100.
He's like, man, I'm really in the mood for a cake. And they're like, here's our terms for a cake. We're going to shit in it. He's like, well, then I'm not going to eat that cake.
I mean, like, we've only seen three countries so far. We've seen, was it Natra, the one where all the main characters are,
mm-hmm.
this shitty one that they're fighting for with the mine, and the Empire.
Mardin.
Right, yeah. Mardin.
The Empire.
Mardin might just have, like, a problem in the water supply.
Because full of mercury.
To reoccupy a mine that they know the terrain of. They uh-huh. know what's up. They send... What was it, like 50,000 troops?
30,000
yeah, troops that will be no yeah. good and zero siege equipment.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just dudes with swords.
They did. They were pretty clear about, yeah, the king of this kingdom is actually an idiot. But yeah. everyone keeps saying
I think that somebody mentioned to me that the actual light novel, which the anime does not include this element, which it should have, is that the king is so incompetent, the nobles had been skimming the gold, he doesn't know it's out.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's why he didn't know. Okay. Yeah, they talk about he's surrounded by sycophants that are corrupt and just, like, skimming some off the top in general, but I didn't think about...
You know,
he doesn't even know!
I'd completely forgotten about the royal advisor that just, like, looks like fucking Jafar.
Yeah. Yeah, he has some strong-ass Jafar energy, that's for sure. Which is why it's hilarious when he shows up again later and you're like, seriously, God,
come on, this guy.
God, if anyone is S3... and doesn't know if they want to continue watching, you have to watch episode 4.
You have to that might be the best.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
I wish you had seen it.
Yeah, I don't even want to spoil what's in there.
We're not going to say it, because it is something you will love.
It is.
Because those first two episodes are great, but episode three feels like it sets up for episode 4, and 4 delivers.
Yes. And then, like, 5, I feel like, closes this entire, like, 3-episode arc.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad I went back and saw 5, so I'm like, all right, I have a complete, like, scope of the first two little events the show went out for.
The second arc also actually reminds me a little bit of, oh my god, what's that? I'm trying to think of that romantic comedy that's set in high school with the two characters who will not, or are trying to convince each other to confess their love.
Kaguya-sama?
Yes.
Yeah.
It has a little bit of that feeling to it, where they're both just, there's two geniuses who are trying to trick each other.
Oh, yes. Mind games to get one of them to commit hard on something.
Yes. Which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's not as good as that, because, oh, man. You basically can't be as good.
Well, yeah, no, you can't top that. The princess, the imperial princess, which, man, in English, we need a better, like, we need a specific word for princess, but in an empire.
Yeah.
She was a great addition to the emergent isekai-style harem we had going on.
Yes.
I like how they're flashing back when they were in school, and he's just like, I'm not going to do what you say, so you have to trick me into doing what you say.
But if that happens, well, I guess I can help a little bit.
Oh, I'll have your back if you trick me into having your back.
Because, I mean, I'm already there. I might as well do something.
If you trick me into coming into work today, I guess I have no choice but to work.
I guess I'll clock in then. I like how dumb the romantic bit is between the between Vane and his assistant.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, this isn't as skeevy as I thought it was going to be. But he's like, meow for me. He's like, meow. I'm not doing this anymore.
I love that. That is the fucking best.
I'm like, worst series would really hard commit to this in a way that I would, you know, be like, oh, come on. But every bit going on with them actually, you know, felt good and not tired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They have an interesting relationship. I think Ninim represents an interesting evolution in the harem anchor girl.
Yeah.
Because rather than either being the obvious winner who just has the through line, or the childhood friend character, like, she represents this permanent, really kind of non-romantic, permanent fallback girl who has no problem with you hitting anything else on the side.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably an unhealthy sort of dynamic to promote, but it's fascinating for the meta. Uh-huh.
Yes, it is fascinating for the meta.
She comes off to me as like, no, I'm going to tase your balls when you get out of control. But that line is still way farther than you think it would be.
Mm. Yes.
All right, it's like, oh, he's acting up again. If he crosses this line, I tase him.
Yeah, I feel like that's always like, it always exists, but I feel like in worse series, it's way closer to where it's, the slightest thing of anything funny, they're immediately going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, here, they actually let them, they let this main character be a man-child.
Which is very fitting for royalty.
Yes.
Yeah, I like his tantrums. The way they animate him is like a dying cockroach.
Yeah, that's an accurate description of it.
I was going to say like orb of waggling things, but you know, that works a lot better.
Yeah, it's really good to watch him constantly have internal meltdowns over how much he really isn't this invested. You know, we didn't really exactly spell it out, but his plan, because his father gets sick, is to sell his nation. Because
it's heavily in debt, it's small, it has no like special thing that it, you know, exports to other nations.
Yeah.
It has no special resources. That's why getting that gold mine's the only like big win for them.
Which at first it didn't even look like a big win because it was seemingly an exhausted gold mine. So he starts losing it because now they're this deep into this other empire and have this worthless fucking gold mine. But they break open a new vein and he's like, this is pretty good. But yeah, he just doesn't want to run anything. He's not interested in any of this shit, so he was going to sell the country, but he needs to raise a little bit of money, so that way it's a little bit more valuable, so that way when he sells it, you know, he can get more money for it.
Yeah, build a little bit of value.
You know, he's trying to get Natra to go to the moon.
Right, it seems... I kind of like how down to earth and relatable that is. Just like, I don't want to run this country. That's the last thing I want to do.
Right?
Just please, I want to just stop.
Like, what am I going to do with all this talent, knowledge, and resources? Serve the people? No, I'm going to take my weird white haired secretary in fetish wear and go fuck off somewhere.
Yeah, it permeates every action he takes at every point in time. So when you get to, like, the sixth episode, and he's been called to a festival that's religious, and they go, yeah, we were going to elect you as one of the new members of our highly secretive club because you're a blood descendant of the original Jesus. And he's just what? Like, oh, God damn it. Seriously?
Oh, my God. I should have combination, saw the next one.
The combination of him being, like, pretty competent and also doing this constant failing upward is really sweet.
Yes, actually, that is especially relevant in episode 6 because he just rolls the dice on something, and even Nimmin's like, yeah, I thought we were dead. I was convinced negotiations would go south from there, and we were just as good as dead.
There's a really good mix of conversations where he's in his head going, I need to do this specifically so that all of the people under me do not lose morale and think I'm great. I need to toe this line perfectly. And other times where he goes, please take my bluff. Please take my bluff, please.
Yeah.
Please, just do it.
I mean, honestly, to me, one of the more impressive things he does as a ruler is there's that line, I forget, I think it's in episode 4, maybe it's in 3, where he talks about, yeah, we've exhausted all of our troops and stuff from this earlier episode, and pulling our full force out again would extremely reduce morale, be expensive as hell, and all these other things. And I'm like, wow, I get the impression that all these other dipshit the rulers would not consider that in the least. Like, they just would just keep going on this hell march, not realizing resource management, morale, and all these other things, because that's literally how they paint them all. Like, every other kingdom's run by a total dipshit.
Right, which is where I was saying it has that isekai vibe where the main character rolls up and he's like, please, people, can I have your attention? Maybe wipe your ass when you shit. And they're like, oh my God, you revolutionized the country.
And then the epic shonen music starts and it's like, and they're like, oh my God, wiping our ass?
You can use a bucket to carry water from the well instead of cupping your hands together.
You're a genius.
Yeah, it's really fantastic.
We're going to find out that entire side of the country that is like the villain side of, like, the whole left side of the country. They were like, yeah, this is the one we're at war with and we're not aligned with. We're going to find out all of them are just completely this incompetent.
I mean, the entire western half of this continent is racist.
Yes.
They are very upfront about that. And I'm like, that's funny as hell. That's really genuinely hilarious to just be like, yeah, they're all like a giant mass. And racist. It's a giant mass of racists from here to the west.
Even when some characters aren't completely dumb, the main character will go, well, I've hard read every single thing you're going to do, so it doesn't really matter if you're above average on intelligence anyway.
Yeah, he does have that Light Yagami, like, knowledge of everything.
I mean, in the first minute, I said he just looks like if Light and Lelouch were fused together.
Yeah, this kid Lelouch is pretty hard.
He's not spaghetti enough.
That is true. He's not newly.
Few things not made by Clamp are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's the light side taking over the body, like makeup. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I you know, he splits the difference on a number of things in his head, which happens in, I believe it was episode 5, where he's just like, well, there are only two ways this could have gone. We prepped for the better one, and then it changed to the worst one, so let's fucking go. Quickly rides a horse out of town. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Like, yes, he has an isekai like level brilliance to him that is unreasonable, but because he doesn't like Death Note, know everything perfectly. And also, he has such low aspirations.
Yes, that helps a lot.
It really does.
An extreme amount of anxiety of, oh, fuck, please. Oh, no.
I don't want to do it.
Dude has the energy of a guy who won't alter any order ever because he knows they'll fuck it up. He's ordering, like, the number one thing a fast food chain is known for. Like, there's no way they'll fuck up a Big Mac.
The default.
I just need to order that. Anything else and they might get confused.
Why'd you give me a filet of fish? I didn't plan for this.
Yeah, I don't know. This is definitely, in all of Weeaboots, one of the animes that most concerned me with episode one, the first half specifically, with the really bad CG castle and various other elements.
Yeah, it's the show as a whole is like that. It's a lot better than it looks.
Yeah.
It is top of its class, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's a strong B minus in a sea of dreck.
Yes.
I have to wonder if the Blu-ray release is going to look significantly better on this show. I'm not familiar enough with other things the studio has made to know if they just do that.
See, here's the thing. I would say...
I think they worked on Jujutsu Kaisen, didn't they?
No, I don't think so.
I was going to say, like, there's a lot of really obvious problems that probably could get fixed for the Blu-ray that aren't even, like, that CG castle shot. Like, this guy's... Everyone's face in the scene is drawn horribly.
Yeah, we got a lot of, like, man, the main characters, the focus of the shot are being drawn as if they're background characters.
Yeah, I think that was the wide shot at the table in episode 3, maybe 4.
the shot of the one princess where her eyes are drooping out of her head.
Yeah, I think that was 4. But yeah, it was rough. I just laughed at it, though. And luckily, not enough of it looks that tier where it's a problem, I don't think. It's just kind of funny every time it crops up.
Yeah, like, this isn't a good-looking show, but it's not written like one that needs to be.
It doesn't look anywhere near as bad as that show you made me watch right after we finished watching
yes,
this.
I was like, Dan, you have to see this. This is the worst thing I've seen this whole season. It's impressive.
Okay, so if you guys can imagine, you've played Golden Sun. I think everyone here has. So there's the 3D camera thing in the RPG battle view, right?
Oh, yeah, like the perspective to make it like 3D.
Yes.
So it's behind like the backs at an angle.
Yeah, and it also moves the camera a little bit and it gives some depth. Imagine this sort of did that sort of circular movement to come around behind your character in a battle scene, but they forgot to turn the camera towards character towards camera perspective. So in one of the first shots of the series, the main character's two-dimensional because it's just a flat plane.
So what is it, Paper Mario?
I wish that was the point. Bob, do you even remember the name of it?
It had Songo in the title. Let me see. I'm going to the Funimation's website right now to try and find it.
Yeah, it was genuinely one of the roughest I've seen, and I skimmed the rest of the episode, and yeah, that was... Woof. Glad we're not watching that.
yeah, no. If anyone said, yeah, we should watch this, I'd be like, no, don't. We don't need to watch that one. We can go anywhere else, actually.
Literally anything else.
We can go back to World's End's harem.
Maybe not.
Let's not.
Yeah. This looks terrible. It has awful plot and pacing, but at least it's not World's End's harem.
I don't know. World's End harem and its terrible misogyny at least fires any neurons.
It does.
No.
This will fire plenty of neurons as you try and describe how bad it looks.
I feel like you're brutalizing neurons at that point.
Fantasia, Songo, Realm of Legends.
It looks hideous. But yeah, luckily the show only looks bad sparingly. You know, it's like a tart craisin you bite into occasionally in an otherwise sweet dish. It's like, what is, okay, whatever. It's kind of funny.
Oh, this makes sense considering Fantasia Sango is a sub-Idea Factory RPG franchise.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that makes that budget make a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Oh man,
this is great. We got two Weeaboots in one.
I got something they used as a preview image here. Let me upload.
Oh, you're
going
to post
quick.
That? Yes. Okay, that's good. I would hate to get through this without anyone having to see this completely other anime that you made me watch after this. Yeah.
Oh yeah, one of those shots. Always a pleasure.
They're trying.
See, that's like they're trying, but it just looks horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what they're trying to do. They didn't land it.
No.
But yeah, The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt, I found pretty enjoyable, honestly. Like, I only stopped because I ran out of episodes. It really does help, as we said earlier, that the prince's aspirations are so rock bottom. He does not care He just wants to eat enough calories to not be hungry.
Yeah, he doesn't even come off as wanting to live a particularly great life. He just wants to be left alone.
Yeah. He just doesn't want to have any responsibilities.
Yes.
100%. But once he gets involved in it, he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna try to win it, as in get out yet another slightly better stalemate. And it just, as Agro said, keeps failing upward, and it's kind of funny. But it's weird because he tries it all. So he's not a complete, like, piece of shit failing upward.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have aspirations, so his grand success doesn't feel like he's Light Yagami or some super genius who's just getting it all. So it does this really delicate character balance that makes it work for me perfectly. Bob, how did you feel about it exactly?
Yeah, I have pretty similar thoughts of like, man, he's easy to root for.
Yes.
This is like, I just want to go live in the woods with my secretary.
I just want to clock out on time today.
Yeah, just for once, please.
I don't want to get employee of the month. I don't want to get promoted. I just want to go home.
This show is such a master of the jump cut.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, Bob, the end of the series, is it going to be he's going to be like, okay, this should work out. And like every other time, they're going to do a junk cut, except for this time, he's fucking dead.
Yeah, just go to his funeral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do enough things that are that tier of funny with the jump cuts.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
This is such a hard thing to do, honestly. Like, mm-hmm. to properly have your serious, like, warring nations sort of story with death and everything that can happen, and make it funny and make it feel like that funniness doesn't just feel completely out of place.
Yeah.
Like, it very much feels appropriate. It's such a hard balance to do. I've almost never see it done right.
Yeah, I was kind of mortified, as I said, in episode one, because I was worried it was going to be what it is.
Right.
And then also wouldn't, you know, work.
Yeah, when they killed somebody, it was like, okay, good, you're not going insanely grimdark. Thank you. Like, yeah. No,
I mean,
people...
it does leave the prince coming off as kind of a psychopath, which I think just makes it seem more genuine, because, you know, he's a born prince. Ruler.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's like, oh yeah, I get to go home and be lazy if I just send my army into a losing battle a couple more times.
Yes. but not too much. If I lose too hard, they'll kill me.
Yes. Yeah, he doesn't come off as much as not caring about the army, though. Like, it does still seem like there is a, okay, I'm expected to do this, so I have to. More so than I'll just throw them into the mulcher.
It's that kind of, you know, general psychopathy of a middle-aged society. Like, what? Yeah, war. We do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Dan brought it up during the show of like, I wonder if any of this parallels history almost completely accurately. So Agro, was there any moment in this show where you're like, yeah, that's straight up from history?
Yeah, I was.
I mean, like for any of the military segments, you could go grab any random French peasant, and they could have assaulted that mine better than this dipshit did.
Agro, you saw episode 4, which involves, you know, certain characters doing really dumb shit, like catastrophically stupid shit.
I mean, that happened all the time. Yeah.
Okay.
So I will speak more specifically. So I believe episode 4 is the one where the guy gets in a duel with the main character out of honor.
Uh-huh.
Oh no.
And then in the middle of this duel where the main character's like, okay, I'm gonna let him win and I'm gonna make it look good and it'll be fine. Then because the weird guy, I can't remember his exact role. What was it again? He was like a marquis.
Marcus? He was the Marquess of this country whose name is too fucking hard to pronounce.
Yes, and they were
a consonant in the wrong place.
Yep. They were a part of the empire. He he just does some really stupid shit in the duel, and immediately the main character accidentally counters him perfectly, and he falls on his ass. Main character's like, oh god, I made him look bad. And that guy starts charging at him. He dodges to the side. That guy charges out of a fucking glass door and falls off the balcony and dies.
What?
And I'm like, this is some Lu Bu tier shit. Of just, yeah, he got drunk and opened the gates himself in order to fight us away from his castle.
That might have been the greatest payoff to episode 3 I've ever seen.
It was fan fucking tastic.
Where I'm like, this is seen as immaculate. The show goes up 3 points off one event. Where I'm like, no, they're checking. Oh, please tell me he's dead, please.
They hold that shot. Mm-hmm. So long, because you've seen every other show where it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
And they just hold that shot as he's running and he's through the door and he's going across the balcony.
Yeah, and they're like, and they get to the ground and they're like holding the chest, and it's like, oh fuck.
Like, Nimbin, is he alive? No. he's just fucking dead. They're all like, oh god.
And even despite describing it, you should see it, because boy does it add 18 layers of better stuff going on.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. And the number one takeaway is the main cast just goes, oh god, everything got complicated.
Yeah, it adds, like this whole thing, it's a farce. It's completely absurd. It's beautiful.
Yes.
And they even try to, like, you know, they treat it seriously despite it being a comedy thing later, and I'm like, you didn't undo it. Like there's moments of like, man, he died. That sucks for us, when they, you know, they're dealing with the other, you know, dealing with the family of it. And I'm like, this doesn't feel like unearned or anything, or deflates anything. Like, it felt consistent and good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they really land it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. So let's go ahead and wrap this up. Bob, would you recommend The Genius Prince's Guide to Raising a Nation Out of Debt?
Surprisingly, yes. It was much better than I expected and kept getting better as we watched more of it. So, hey, good on them.
Dr. Agro?
I mean, as a guy who watches every single low-rent fantasy anime that comes out, like this show is a lot like them. It's like 1 point better in every category. It's the best of these. So while a lot of it is painfully generic, if this kind of thing is your thing, this is the best one of those things. So yeah, go ahead and check this out.
Mr. Feel.
Yeah, I'm very excited to watch the rest of it after the shit that got said in this episode.
And KZ.
Yes, I definitely recommend it. I thought it was pretty great. If that Blu-ray cleans it up a little bit, I might be open to owning it, because I really enjoyed my time with it.
Yeah, I too thought it was really good. I did not expect that. But given the subject matter and the first episode's budget and a number of other things, I was like, this sure is, I'm going to watch 4 episodes and then clock out for the day. But no, it was really good. I genuinely want to watch the whole series. I have no idea how many episodes they're making of it, but I'm very excited. For anyone who's interested, it is a Funimation joint, so they have that up on their website.
Yeah. I hope it gets a dub. I feel like that could really elevate some things.
I hope that this is not going to happen, but it would be the funniest thing. I hope they just go, oh, whatever, the main character's Crispin Freeman.
Yes. Oh, and then they give Ninim like a really hard, random accent.
I can see in my head the casting of Derek Stephen Prince.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The main character.
Oh. Yes, that would be great too. Man, really excited for them, for us to find out what they're doing with it, if it's going to get a Blu-ray, if the Blu-ray looks an iota better.
At the very least, they're like, okay, the intro that we used later, we'll just put that on all of them.
Yeah.
I want the classic intro. What are you doing?
Come on, this is revisionism. You're burning
real
books.
Real fans want the broadcast version.
Yeah, real fans want that. I recorded it on a Betamax.
They want the original part of the Makaki City Actors anime that just was CG and looked like the worst thing you've ever seen.
That's okay. The original intro could be in the extras.
Ooh.
You can go and watch it.
Yeah.
I still think it's the funniest thing in the world. I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly, Lost Universe accidentally uses the incomplete intro for a huge chunk of the series, even though they had fixed that by a certain point. But yeah. Anyways, on the DVD release, not the air. Anyways, that's going to do it for this episode of WeeBoots. Glad we could watch something good.
Right? Yeah! Big win!